Let us turn in the Word of God, please, first of all, to 1 Chronicles chapter 16. And there is a second text in Psalm 27. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and the verse 11. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. And then Psalm 27 and the verse 8. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. I have been considering with you the last couple of weeks the importance of prayer in the life of the Christian and also in the Christian congregation. Prayer is vital. Prayer is the most important work of all that we can be engaged in. We will have many regrets in life. One of the great regrets will be that we have not prayed enough, that we have not used this gift of God that is so sweet and so powerful, that we have not used it as much as we ought to His glory and for our good. And so I have been endeavoring to stir up your hearts, as I have been endeavoring to stir up my own heart about this matter of prayer, the importance of it. And I've given you four reasons thus far why prayer is important. The primary reason, the most important reason of all, is that God commands it, He frequently commands it, and He commands it with great earnestness. And then the second reason is that it is food to the soul. And then the third reason is it is the right and reasonable and proper response to reality. Because the greatest reality is God, our Creator, who is with us. And therefore, the proper response to Him is to be conscious of His reality and to live in communion with Him and pray to Him frequently. And then fourthly, it is important because prayer gets the ear of the eternal and almighty God. Now, the two texts that I have drawn your attention to here have a number of things in common. And the first is that they contain the verb seek. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face. Continually, 1 Chronicles 16, 11, Psalm 27, verse 8. When thou sayest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Lord, thy face will I seek. So it's containing multiple times the verb to seek, which recalls to us prayer. But there is also something else that is common to both texts, not just the verb to seek, but what it is that we are particularly to seek, that is the face of God, His face. That's what we're thinking about this morning, the face of God. So it's not just prayer, but prayer in a very defined aspect as seeking His face. And that's another reason why prayer is so important. Because it brings us before this face of God. This transforming face of God. And that's where we're going this morning. David speaks these words in Chronicles. It is spoken at the time when the ark has been brought up to Jerusalem and placed in a special tent, tabernacle there. Seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face continually. Now the ark is in his mind there before the ark, which is the symbol of the presence of God. And that's referred to in the word his strength. That's one of the names for the ark of his strength, the ark of his presence, that which sets forth his face. And so by worshipping before the ark, God's people received strength and help. Just by being before his face. It didn't convey strength any other way than by coming before it. You could not take it out and use it. You remember that Israel tried to do that one time. They were battling the Philistines. Well, take it out. It'll be strength for us. It'll help us. It'll deliver us. And what did God do? He gave us strength into the hands of his enemies. Didn't do anything for them. Because you're not to take it out and to use it. You're to come before it. And it's by becoming before it that you get the power and the strength. And that's what David is talking about. It's not by parading symbols that they get strength. It is by prayer and coming before God that they get it. That's the way, before his face. We often hear this verse, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. It's so important that you humble yourself and you seek God's face with dependence upon him and looking to him, and he, through his face, conveys to us immeasurable grace. And notice what it says in the text, seek his face continually. That is, evermore, perpetually. It's to be your continual employment. This is what the word means. The New Testament says, without ceasing, pray always. They're not just inventing this idea of doing it continually. It's in the Old Testament. Seek his face continually. And why is the Lord's face so important? Because it conveys strength. You get divine strength from his face. You come away changed. You come away stronger. Even if you haven't asked for anything, just by being before him, you get something. You get his grace. It comes from his countenance. It comes from being in his presence. That's why it's so important. And this other text in Psalm 27, verse 8, you'll notice that the verse is divided into two. The first part is, when thou sayest, seek ye my face. And the second part is, my heart said unto thee, thy face will I seek. Each mirrors the other. The first is a call. You said, seek ye my face. And then the second part is a response to that call. Yet thy face will I seek. And so it's God who says, seek me. Didn't we see this? Seek my face. He doesn't just say, seek me. He doesn't just say, seek the Lord. He very specifically says, seek my face. Not just goods. Not just possessions, not just healings, not just answers to prayer. No, my face. Seek me, the face of God. And this is a call to all, you will notice, because the Lord says, seek ye my face. He doesn't just say to David, seek thou my face. He says, seek ye my face. It's a call that goes out into all the earth. It's a call that goes out into all the world. It's not just to David that David said, that the Lord says, seek my face. It's to all the nations and all the peoples, and especially to his church. Seek ye my face. It's a call to you this morning. You're in this call of God. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. He says, seek ye my face. It's a general call. And it comes to us through Jesus Christ, the gospel. Because this is what God wants in the gospel and through his Son. He wants all people to seek his face. That is, to come to him through Christ, the incarnate one, who is the face of God. And it's a sincere and a well-meant call and offer that David responds to, no matter about anybody else. This is my heart, Lord. My heart will say unto thee, thy face I will seek. He can't speak for others. And you can't speak for others, but you can speak for yourself. And this is what you ought to say. My heart says to thee, Lord, thy face I will seek. I will. Will you say that this morning? Is that your heart response to God? Are you receiving with meekness the engrafted word which is able to give you deliverance? And this is one of the most important aspects of that deliverance, in knowing the face of God. God wants this in us all, this heart response. He doesn't want us to be dragged and forced to pray and dragged and forced to the prayer meeting. He wants us to be our hearty response. My heart said, thy face will I seek. So David has a love for prayer, doesn't he? He has a heart for it. He's a delight in it. He loves seeking God. He loves waiting before his face. David loved prayer. I mean, the Psalms prove that. Here's a man who loved prayer. And whenever we repeat them and go through them and say them and pray them ourselves, we discover that, and we trust that the Holy Spirit imparts to us something of that love that David had and that our Savior Jesus Christ had. The love for fellowship with God. So it was a delight to him. He just heard God say, and it's time to seek my face, David. And David's heart responded, yes, Lord, thy face will I seek. Every day, hear that voice of God. Seek ye my face. Every day. David meets a lot of faces. But God says to him, don't forget my face, David. This morning, before you meet any other faces, David, meet my face. And David, don't treat me with contempt. You're dealing with all the faces of your friends and all the faces of the worldlings and all the faces that you meet in life. And my face, you never meet. You never speak to. You never sit before my face just to enjoy my fellowship, my company. It's very important. It's the most important face we could ever be before. There's nothing will change us like the face of God. And we see favor and grace in God's face. And we need it. We need to see it. You know, prayer's not just about asking things and getting things and obtaining things. It's not even about praise. The most important thing about prayer is just being before that face. Even if you don't ask anything. Even if you don't say anything, just a conscious coming before God, before his face. Now notice how David uses the expression in the verse following in the Psalm 27, hide not thy face from me. It's so important to him. Don't put your servant away in anger. Don't put me from your face. He doesn't want to lose the countenance of God. So the focus in David in that psalm is very definitely on the face of God. No face to him would mean God's anger. No face of God, it would mean something's not right. No face from God, it will mean no help. It will mean no presence. It will mean no power. No blessing. Last week I talked about getting God's ear. This is additional to that. Prayer is not only getting his ear, but prayer is before God's face. Because it's conveying more than just prayer, being before God's face. Getting his ear is important. Making our petitions are important. The face of God is more than getting what we ask. It's conveying something that perhaps we're not even seeking, the face of God. Now, oftentimes it says just seek and you'll find, ask and you'll obtain, and seek the Lord. But frequently this description is given God's face. And that is telling us how close we can get to God. That is telling us how intense and how near the fellowship can be in God. He offers his face. Imagine that. Now, of course, that's in Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ. I mean, we could never go to the face of God unless he first came to us with his face. And he did that in the incarnation and person of Jesus Christ. In Christ being made flesh, God comes as near to us as it is possible to come. And in the face of Jesus Christ, we see the glory of God and we have a real union and a lasting communion and fellowship with God in Christ. A people near unto me, he says. And so we have this privilege as those who belong to the Lord. Jesus Christ is the face of God. You remember the father of John the Baptist, he said concerning the prophet, you child are called to be the prophet of the highest, and you'll go before the face of the Lord. You'll go before this incarnate Redeemer. The face of the Lord. You'll go before that. That's the face that we come to. That's the face that we have communion with, fellowship with, when we pray to God through Jesus Christ. Now, when you talk to someone or are seeking to come before someone to obtain something for yourself or for others, you come to meet them. You have to come before their face. And you have to set it all before their face. Meeting with people. Now, I know we have the email and letters and all of this, and we can do it that way. But there's nothing like coming before the face of a person. In sincerity. Of course, you can get others to do that. Pray for me, we often say. You go before God's face for me. You get the petitions for me. You can ask things and you might not even see God's face. You might just get his ear. Or you could ask other people and they can get God's ear and they can pray for you. And we can ask people to pray. That's fine. And you can seek intercession. That's fine. But that is not a replacement for being before the face of God. You see what I'm saying? You can get petitions. People can pray for you. People can ask these things. You can get all these things because people are praying for you. But you will miss out because you're not getting his face. And there's something in that alone. They're getting his face who are making intercession for you. They're getting that. As well as the answers to prayer, they're getting the value of his countenance. You only get that in prayer. You only get that in coming before him and seeking this face. This is something besides just getting petitions heard. And so you may have people praying for you and may get all that they prayed for and you'll still be the loser. Because you missed out on God's face yourself. This is something additional. This is something more. What I'm saying, congregation, I'm not doing it very well, but I'm just trying to convey to you the importance of your face before God's face. You have to pray. You have to seek His face. This nearness to God, you have to enjoy, because it's only in that that you will experience the transformative power of His face and the grace of Jesus Christ. So getting an ear is good. God hears, and you can know that God hears, but an ear is not a face. It's near a face, that's true. It's attached to a face, that's true. But you can have an ear and not a face. You get that on the telephone, for example. The face can be distant, and yet you can be heard. You can shout. You can imagine God across the other side of the universe, and He just hears your voice, type of thing. I pray, I know He hears my voice. Is that how you look at prayer? God distant, and He just happens to hear your voice? No. Prayer's before His face. That's what prayer is. And if you're before that face, that's a transformative experience in itself. That's how you get the brightness. That's how you get the strength. You can talk on the phone, but you don't see any reactions. You don't see any glint in the eye. You don't see any frustrations in the face, in the countenance. You don't pick up on anything of that. It's not just about talking. It's about abiding before His face. It's the face that changes us. It's the face that cheers us. It's the face that warms us. It's the face that tells us something's not right. In God's ear, we get answers to prayer. That is true, and that's important. But in God's face, we get changed. We get changed. Prayer changes us. That's why God has given it. We can receive something direct from God that we maybe have not even asked for. Prayer brings us into the presence that transforms. It sets us before a countenance that changes us, and that changes all creatures that come before it. The transformative face of God. That's why David prayed, "Let the light of thy countenance shine upon us." Because there's nothing else will transform us. There's nothing else will make us shine. There's nothing else will impart the strength to us. And so you can come before God's face even in silence, as I said, and not ask anything. Just consciously with His word before you, communing with Him, fellowshipping with Him through Jesus Christ, just in the light of His countenance, in the light as He is in the light, walking and waiting before Him, just waiting before His face. Prayer changes us. That's why it's important. It empowers us. It strengthens us. Because it's before the face of the Omnipotent One. Prayer does this. Prayer is how you get to know God. You get to know God only as you come before His face. You need a face to know someone. The Lord said, "This is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." Both are important. Both persons, the Father and the Son. And it's through Christ that we know Him. And in His face. You know, to know God is not to know about Him. I mean, I know a lot about John Calvin, and I know a lot about Martin Luther, but I don't know them. I've never known them, never been before their face, never saw their face, never had their face respond to me in any kind of way. I don't know them. You can't know without a face. You can't. And you can't know without being in the presence of a face. No matter what the internet makes you think you know. You don't know anybody until you're in the presence and before their face. It's by face-to-face relationship that you get to know people. And we can know 1,000 things about God through our catechism. We can know 1,000 things about God through propositions and verses and points. But you're only knowing about him. You're only knowing something of him. It's only by prayer and coming before him in the experience of it that you get to know him, to know the Lord. We can't know anybody in history unless we have a living experience with their face. And that's the reality of the risen Christ. We have a face, a living face. A true communion with God by the presence of the Holy Spirit, who by faith enables us to fellowship with the face of God in Christ. And that's how we get to know God, face to face. And you have to know him, people of God. You have to meet him every day. Meet him, meet his face. You must spend time with him. We have to realize his presence and commence the day with him by true faith. So just a minute in his presence with true humility and true faith and true earnest love will give you a greater knowledge of God than 4 years in Bible college without it. So it's how you know God before his face. And also, prayer is how you get strength and grace and help. And it's how you get much strength and much grace and much help as you come before that face. It's conveyed to us through the face of Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, we all know that praying helps us. We know that. We feel stronger after prayer. We're able to cope a little better by having prayed. Not because we get answers. Maybe we don't even get the answers that we're seeking. Maybe God has said no or not now. But just the praying itself helps us. Why is that? Because it's before his face. Seek his strength. Seek his face. It imparts something of himself. You can call it strength. You can call it grace. You can call it help. These are all Bible words. You can call it whatever. But his face, through prayer before it, conveys something. It's a means of grace. They that wait upon the Lord, that is before his face, what happens then? They renew their strength. They mount up with wings as eagles. They haven't asked. They've just waited. Waiting before the face of God. Seeking him. Enjoying his presence. Looking to him. Trusting him. Depending on him. They renew their strength. And they mount up with wings as eagles. They run. And they don't get weary. And they walk consistently in the Christian life. And they don't faint. Why is it that they don't faint? Why do you see Christians who are going on so well and not fainting and always the same, bright and radiant for God and strong in the Lord? Why is it? I'll tell you why it is. Because they're people who are before the face of God. They're people who know what it is to wait on God. Always the same. In fact, mounting up even higher. Because they know this face. The psalm later on says, wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He'll strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That's the most important thing the church can do. Not run a circus. Not be running around like headless chickens. Expending all the energy and getting nowhere. And we're still diminishing as a denomination. No, it's by waiting on God. By being before the face of the Lord. By earnest seeking of Him. They go from strength to strength, it says in the psalm. Every one of them in Zion. Why? Because they are appearing before God. That's why. Before His face. So prayer is how you get strength and it's how you know God. But prayer is also how you become like God. How you grow God-like and godly. People's faces affect us. There's no question about that. Everybody's face affects you. The effect may be minimal. It may be very minute and very small, but it will affect you. It might be a long face, a cross face, a sad face, and you're coming in before these faces. We all interact. We all have face contact. And we're all changed one way or another by it. Which is why we should always have a kind face. And a pure face. And a patient face. And a pleasant face. Because our faces are transformative. But there's no face transformative like the face of God. None whatsoever. No face like His face. Now hopefully we find friends that we like to be with. And we like to be with them because they improve us. It's hard to find a friend like that. One who improves you. One of whom you delight to be in. Not because, you know, he's a good talker and tell great jokes and he makes you laugh and all this and that. And you know, but you go out saying, I wish I was like him. I wish I had that character that he has. It makes us want to be like him. But you know, there's nothing like the face of God making you want to be like him. I want to be like that face. The face of Jesus Christ. I want something of that in my life. And as you come before that face, that's what happens. That's what will happen in the day of glory. See him face to face, like him. As quick as that, in our resurrected humanity, a total transformation by a face-to-face, literal, physical encounter that resurrection morning. But we can have it in our soul. We're going to get a new body then. It's not going to help our body much, face-to-face to God. We're getting a new body. But as I've said often, we're not getting a new soul. And our soul has to be before God, before His face. To be purified and sanctified. And to become godly and God-like. God is good. He is the good. God is beautiful. He is beauty itself. And He is truth. And by coming before His face, we imbibe these things through Him by the Holy Spirit in the mediation of our Christ. We become godly before His face. Something of His goodness is imparted from us. We should go away from prayer a better person. We should go away from prayer more beautiful a person. We should go away from prayer with something more of the truth of God having been imbibed into our experience just by being in His presence. That's how important it is. That's what I'm trying to paint to you, people of God, and to hammer home to my own soul. Everybody comes from God's presence better. Do you remember Stephen? He's before a lot of cross faces. Faces like flint. Angry faces. You know, there's no people more angry than religious people. There's no people more filled with hatred and malice as religious people. And you don't get that in the presence of God. They hadn't the face of God. You see that man, Stephen, with all his gentleness and yet his boldness as a man of God? They saw his face. It was like the countenance of an angel. That's what the Bible says. How did he get that? How did that come about? Because he's a man who is before the face of God. Who, even while he is before all these angry faces, he is before the face of God in his own soul. He's praying. He's seeking the Lord. And the Lord shines upon him. Moses, the Bible says, came down from Mount Sinai with the two tables of testimony in his hand. And when he came down from the mount, he didn't know it. He wasn't aware of it. And that's very often the case. The godly man doesn't think he's any more godly. But people see it. And so he came down and he didn't know his face was shining and glorious. And the people saw his face shine. And they were afraid. Because they've not seen anything like this. And they were afraid to come nigh to him. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face shone. And how did that take place? Well, the Bible tells us. Moses' face shone while he talked with God. That's how. And God wants that. He wants our fellowship. He wants our communion. He took flesh and blood and died on the cross to obtain it. Another reason then why prayer is so important, because it brings us before that soul transforming, that life imparting face. Let us therefore then receive grace to seek his face continually in our homes and also congregation in our church, in our place of worship, in our prayer meetings. More than anything else, we need his face.